The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everybody. God's holy, righteous law is still in effect today, just as it was in the days of Jesus Christ when he was on this earth as a human being. Please get your Bible and follow along as we go through this study of God's Ten Commandment law. First, let's turn to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. We read here in Matthew 19 and verse 16, Jesus Christ talking about the commandments of God. And it says here in verse 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" That's a wonderful question. That's a question all of us ought to be asking. And what was the answer from Jesus Christ? Notice his answer in verse 17. "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God." He's talking about different degrees of good here. "But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." If you want to have eternal life, keep the commandments. Doesn't sound like the law of God was done away in the time of Jesus Christ, does it? Well, this young man went on and said to him, Which commandments? And Jesus said, "You shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." In other words, he listed several of the Ten Commandments found in the law of God. He didn't list all of them. He didn't need to. He was talking about the ones that specifically made the point with this young man about what he needed to do. Now, the Greek word for commandments in verse 17 means the Ten Commandment law, just as it does over here in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. Let's turn over there, Revelation 22 and verse 14. Notice what God's word says. Not only is this in the New Testament, it's in the last book of the New Testament, and it's in the last chapter of the last book of the New Testament. You see, God's Ten Commandment law is not just Old Testament teaching. It's also New Testament teaching. It says here in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments." Same word used by Jesus Christ when he said, if you want to have eternal life, keep the commandments. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Commandments here means the law of God. And now that we have laid the groundwork for a study of the points of God's law, let's continue today with our series through these 10 great points. And today, we're going to study commandment number 6. Do you know what that is? Can you remember what commandment number 6 actually says? Let's turn over here to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13 and read it. Exodus 20 and verse 13. It's a very short commandment, but it has deep meaning. "You shall not kill. You shall not kill." This is what God's word says. Now, any in-depth study of this word kill here will show that it actually means murder. It involves hate and malice and wrong intent. It involves a motive to do harm. It's not talking about an accidental death where someone is killed. That's horrible and it's a terrible tragedy. But this is talking about murder. And it says, "You shall not kill. You shall not murder." Now, this commandment was broken early on in the history of mankind, right from the get-go. Let's read about that. Turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. Way back here in the beginning of God's word, it says this, Genesis 4 and verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. They were married, and Eve became pregnant and had a baby and named him Cain. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Eternal. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." He gave it in a better attitude. He went about it the right way. Cain did not. "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth." Notice, anger set in, hatred, "and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why are you wroth? Why are you angry? What's your problem? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. You're breaking the law when you sin. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. There is evidence that he said, let's go out into the field. This was a premeditated murder is what this was, the first one in history. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I don't know. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer to that is, yes, you should be. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now are you cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. He murdered his own brother. He broke the sixth commandment right there early on in history. This vile practice of killing and murder has only gotten worse down through time until today. It is a daily, massive epidemic all over the world. We live in an age filled with hate and anger and strife and unbridled violence. And it's even glorified in the media, in movies, on television, in video games, in books, and mankind and all ages of human beings just absorb this horrendous mindset of violence and hate and envy and vengeance, which often leads to killing and murder. The sixth commandment forbids any kind of intentional killing and murder. God is the life giver. He doesn't want us to be taking life that he has given as a gift. While we're here in Genesis, let's go on back over here to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The giving of life is the greatest gift of all. What a blessing. What a gift. What a thrill to be alive and well. When that life is taken away, all the plans, hopes, and dreams of that human being, all the potential and possibilities of that precious life is wiped out and stolen. That is evil, and that is sin. Only God himself has the authority to take life. We can see that clearly in his word. Turn with me to Job chapter 1, the book of Job chapter 1 and verse 21. Here's a case where disaster began to strike Job's family and his whole life. He lost his servants through a calamity that you can read about here. And then he lost all of his sons and daughters. All of them were killed. What was Job's attitude? Job chapter 1, verse 21. This is what he said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly or accused him wrongly. So Almighty God does everything from the motive of love and righteousness, and he has the authority to give life, and he has the authority to take life. He does not have any wrong motive or intent when he does that. And you will notice as you study the history of ancient Israel in the Old Testament, they were his physical nation, and sometimes when he sent them into a country, in order for them to have peace, he would order them to wipe out the pagan inhabitants of that country, and he would fight their battles for them. But only he has the authority to order such action. Mankind does not have the ability or the capability to do that without having hate and anger and wrong motives. So life and death are in the hands of God, not in the hands of men. Notice what Jesus Christ said about the horrible sin of murder. Right over here in the New Testament, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. And verse 21, Matthew 5 and verse 21, Jesus said this, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, a derogatory term, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, you worthless piece of humanity, which was made in the image of God, and God forbids us to talk about people and to people like that, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. You just consider this point and see if it isn't true. Anytime murder takes place, you're going to always find anger and hatred. This starts with wrong thinking, leading to wrong action, which then leads to disastrous results. The death of another human being, or in some cases, several human beings. The news today is filled with mass murder, where people just walk into a restaurant and wipe other people out. Or one person goes back to the job site and just kills as many of his coworkers or her coworkers as they can. It's hideous and it's awful. Everyone involved gets hurt when murder takes place. And often that pain and that suffering and that hurt for those who survive lasts for the rest of their lives. You know, when we keep God's law in our minds and in our hearts, God's way of life is a different way of life than hating and vengeance and getting even. When we keep God's law and keep it properly in our minds and in our hearts, this whole cycle of vengeance and hate and violence is stopped in its tracks before it ever gets started. Let's read about that right over here in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. We read in Hebrews 8 and verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." In other words, not only are we to keep the law in the letter, now we keep it in the spirit. Not only do we see the Ten Commandments in writing, but we have those Ten Commandments in our heart and mind. Now we keep that law in the way we think, not just in what we do, but in what we think, because the way we think is what we're going to end up doing. So if we obey God's law, and if we obey that sixth commandment in the way we think, that is, we don't hate, and we don't despise, and we don't plan harm and even murder toward another human being, then we're not going to end up doing that. We keep the spiritual intent of the law. And when we do that, we will then leave revenge and vengeance and getting even in the hands of God. Think of how many people today have ruined their lives because they hated somebody else, or they wanted to get even, or they wanted to seek vengeance or revenge. You can't go anywhere with that. It's only negative and leads only to bad things. And it breaks the sixth commandment. Here's a better way to approach a situation where you've been harmed or an individual who has done you wrong. We find it over here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Turn with me there. Romans 12 and verse 19. Now this takes faith. This takes maturity. And if you're a Christian, it takes being a practicing Christian in action, not just in name and word only. Is this the approach we have? We had better come to this point in our lives if we're going to please God and be guided and blessed by Him. It says here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." Don't let anger take over your thinking and over your life and lead you to do something you'll be sorry for the rest of your life. "Give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." He'll handle it. Nobody gets away with anything. We put it in God's hands. He takes care of it, and He takes care of it in a much better way than we could ever handle a situation. And whoever has done something wrong to you or yours, they're going to have to answer for that to God. And He will see to it that they do answer for it. He'll be merciful, but He will be very, very just in how He handles it. And then we can just leave it there and get on with our lives instead of detouring our lives into a box canyon that we are never able to get out of because we decided to take it upon ourselves to settle the matter and to get even. You can't go anywhere with that, and that's not Christian. The answer to hate and killing and violence and vengeance is love and service. This is true Christianity in action. And anyone who wants to really live their life as a true Christian will take that approach every time with God's help. Sure, I know it gets hard. And I know we can't do it sometimes without God's help. In fact, we can't ever do it without God's help. But with God's help, we can. Look at these verses and the way they teach us, and look at how much better that way is than man's way of taking matters into our own hands and settling scores and getting back at others. Just notice, right here in God's Word, the best way to go in this matter. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. It says in verse 35 of Acts 20, "I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to return good for evil. It is more blessed to show kindness to someone than to get even and show anger to them, even if they're angry at us. It is more blessed to give life than to take life.'" You don't want that on your conscience. You don't want that to have to deal with for the rest of your life. You want to keep the sixth commandment, and so do I. You don't want to break it, and neither do I. And we must not. That's not God's way. It's not the way of happiness and joy. It's not the way of Christianity. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I want to take a little time with a particular chapter in the Bible. It's over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to read it in the Moffat translation. "Remember, the answer to hate, anger, vengeance, and even murder is love and service, not killing and mayhem." And that's exactly what we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can read along in whatever translation you're using. I'm using the Moffat. The King James is fine as well. Notice what it says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. "I may speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if I have no love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." And if you're reading in the King James Version, it says charity, but that just means love. "I may prophesy, fathom all mysteries and secret lore. I may have such absolute faith that I can move hills from their place, but if I have no love, I count for nothing. I may distribute all I possess in charity. I may give up my body to be burned, but if I have no love, I make nothing of it." And then we continue to read a more definitive explanation of this tremendous attitude of love. Notice what it says. "Love is very patient, very kind." See, there's no anger and hate involved. Love is very patient, very kind. Love knows no jealousy. It isn't envious. It doesn't resent others. It doesn't want to get even and get back. Love makes no parade, gives itself no airs. It doesn't show off, draw attention to itself, want to be a big shot or the center of attention. Gives itself no airs, is never rude, never selfish, never irritated, never resentful. Love is never glad when others go wrong. When we're filled with love, we don't like to see other people suffer. We don't like to see other people face tragedy and disaster. And we certainly don't like to see other people get hurt, injured, or even killed. That's not love. Love is never glad when others go wrong, when they make mistakes, or when they're involved with somebody else doing them wrong. Love is gladdened by goodness, always slow to expose. It doesn't run around gossiping and picking fights with people and trying to get terrible situation stirred up so somebody else will be mad at somebody else, and then they'll get into some kind of big ruckus and even a fight and even violence and sometimes even murder. There are people who actually agitate for that kind of thing, and that is not godly, and that backfires. The Bible makes clear that whatever we sow, we reap. That's going to come back on their head sooner or later. God will see to it. Love is always eager to believe the best. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to just think the worst? The very first reaction is quite often negative. As soon as you hear something about somebody, the tendency is to believe the worst, think the worst of it. Well, that's not what love does. Love is always eager to believe the best. It's not naive. We're not talking about Pollyanna foolishness. Love has wisdom. Love is not a throw rug. Love does not mean that we allow people just to run over us. There's ways to handle that when people try that. But it doesn't involve breaking the sixth commandment. Love is always eager to believe the best, always hopeful, always patient. Love never disappears. It doesn't come and go. It's steady. It's dependable. It's always there in a Christian's life. It's really an attitude. It's an approach. It's an outlook. It's a very important part of holy, righteous, godly character. Well, how important is this question of breaking the sixth commandment? What does God have to say about it? Is it something he says don't do and he hopes we won't? Well, he certainly says we'd better not do it, and if we do, we're going to pay the penalty, and that penalty will be terrible consequences, and it will even lead to death for all eternity if we don't repent of it. That's how important keeping the commandments really is, and that's how important commandment number 6 actually is in everybody's life. Those who don't think it's important, they'll find out the hard way. But in a Christian's life, they take heed. And if they are getting a little careless in this matter of hating and in this matter of anger and in this matter of vengeance and getting even with other people and trying to handle it themselves and even leading to violence and possible death of somebody, a Christian doesn't want any part of that. They see how important it is to obey the commandment which says, you shall not kill, you shall not murder. Well, John talks about that. Let's turn over here to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. John, under inspiration of God, wrote this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I mean, we're still in this human flesh, but we're on our way to salvation because we love others. We love the brethren. He that loves not his brother, his neighbor, any other human being, abides in death. He's got the attitude of murder in his heart instead of the attitude of love in his heart. Verse 15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. How much clearer can it be than that? They may not have actually killed him, but murder's in his heart, and therefore they broke the spirit of the law. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him, and no chance of eternal life at the resurrection. So how crucial is the sixth commandment? It's a matter, literally, of life and death, physical life and death, and above all, spiritual life and death. If we choose to keep that commandment and not kill, not hate, not seek vengeance, we're going to live a life of being blessed of God, and then at the resurrection, we're going to be given eternal life. But if we break that commandment and we hate and we get even and we hurt other people and might even end up murdering somebody, we're going to live a life of misery, and eventually we're going to be put to death in the lake of fire unless we deeply repent and change and God forgives us. And even then, we're going to have a tough time realizing and having to live with what we've done to somebody else. That's how important this subject of keeping God's law really is, including what we're covering today, commandment number 6. Look at the contrast in the way mankind in general feels about killing other human beings, and then the attitude Jesus Christ says every Christian must have. Let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 1. Here is a very succinct description of the world today when it comes to violence, war, murder, and killing. James chapter 4 and verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill, you murder, and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. That is a perfect description of mankind leaving God out of the picture and taking it upon himself to solve his problems his way. That is an apt, clear example of human beings saying, I'm going to do it my way, never mind what God says and never mind what the Bible teaches. I'll handle it myself. And you read right here in this passage and you'll see where that leads to and how that ends up, and it's not pretty, it's ugly. Now look at the contrast over here in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, and read what Jesus Christ says we ought to do, and the result of that is wonderful. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. These are known as the two great commandments. The first commandment covers the first four commandments of the Ten Commandment law, and the next great commandment covers the last six points of the Ten Commandment law. In summary, let's notice what Christ said about all of this here in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. I know people ignore this. They spurn it. They don't have anything to do with it. But if you want to live your life properly, and if you want to be a Christian, and you want to have God's blessing, and you want to put everything into life you can and receive everything from life that's there, keep these two great commandments and that'll happen to you. The first one is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. Now notice Mark 12, verse 31. And the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. What a contrast between taking matters into our own hands and killing and lusting and murdering and harming and destroying other human beings in order to have our way and to settle it our way. What a contrast to doing that and in doing what Jesus Christ says here. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to do him any harm. You're not going to do her any harm. You're not going to do anybody any harm. When these two great commandments are put into force, all killing, murder, violence, and warfare will be wiped out and replaced by love and peace and mutual respect among all people and all nations. When that happens, the sixth commandment will be kept fully in the spirit and the letter and not broken. And the blessings from keeping that commandment fully will go on and further permanently. Let's read about that right here in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Isaiah 2 and verse 4. Speaking of Jesus Christ coming back to this earth and establishing his kingdom on this earth to rule forever and ever. It says here in Isaiah 2 and verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All implements of war will be melted down and made into implements of farming and productivity. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and individuals won't do that either. Neither shall they learn war anymore, and it won't happen between individuals either. That time isn't here yet, but you know what we need to do? We need to live our lives this way right now, the way that is pictured right here in Isaiah chapter 2. And we need to eagerly look forward to and anticipate the time when God's law, the Ten Commandments, will be the way of life all over the earth for everyone in every situation. God speed that day. Please contact us for our free CD entitled God's Kingdom Changes Everything. Also ask for our magazine, Straightforward. It too is free of charge. We'll send you this material by return mail. All you have to do is ask for it. There's no price on any of it. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.